The mind behind master-slave lifestyle. What makes a good master or a bad master? And what is the difference between a noble or a vile slave? And do you know the difference? Discover your warrior, magician, lover, and king. Journey into the light and shadow of master-slave relationships and how this can allow you to go deeper than you ever thought you could. A new series of episodes released every month between the interviews. What's your shadow? What's your pull to the dark side?
How can a slave avoid connection through obedience? And why is it if a slave connects and opens up too quickly, they can end up seriously hurt? Find out in this episode of Slave as a Lover. Over this series of episodes, we have been exploring the secrets of power exchange and the master-slave relationship through different perspectives. The perspectives of the king, warrior, magician, and lover. The lover is all about connection, from the erotic and sexual to more of a sense of brotherhood. And connection is at the heart of the master-slave relationship and at the heart of power exchange. For some people, it might be the connection to have deeper and more intense sex. For others, it might be a more spiritual connection. Regardless, it's about connecting. Slave as a lover can be broken down into several areas. We're going to start with the first one, which is empathy. I think one of the most amazing things about a slave is their ability to connect with people. We use this connection to understand people and often use it to support and help them. The slave commonly has a high degree of empathy. This empathy is what allows a slave to understand people. A slave has a desire to please and serve the master, and the empathy of the slave helps a slave look at and understand what the master needs. With a master's training and the slave's empathy, a slave can start to predict what a master needs and wants. For example, I used to serve a master who liked chicken. At the end of the meal, he would pick up the chicken leg and eat it. After he'd finished, his fingers would be sticky from the chicken and he would want a napkin to clean them. The first time he told me to bring him a napkin. The second time I was on my way to get the napkin before I was asked. The third time the master looked at his sticky fingers and then noticed a napkin waiting for him at the side of the plate just for this moment. He didn't even need to ask. Another part of the lover is connecting to the master. A slave has a great need to connect to a master. For many slaves, this is a much deeper connection than the one would find in a mainstream relationship. For some, it's to connect at such a deep level that they aim for union of master and slave, with the slave giving his mind, body and soul in service to the master. For me, this need has been overwhelming at times, to have a boundless existence where I'm part of the master. However, this can lead to the shadow state of giving too much, too quickly to someone, and not having your own boundaries there. Other slaves may feel something much less extreme, but still with a drive to connect and serve. Slaves also need to be vulnerable. In the Master Slave Support Group I run, we often discuss this topic, that true submission, the true submission of a slave is not obedience, but when the slave can generally open themselves up and become vulnerable. To do this, the slave needs to trust the master. So a good master will focus on building trust with a new slave. Then as trust builds, the slave can open up and become vulnerable. It is when the slave opens up that the true magic of a master-slave relationship can happen. When the master, in his magician mode, can transform and grow a slave and move them to new areas of submission with this openness and vulnerability. Some masters require only blind obedience from a slave. But when both sides can open up to each other, when they can both become vulnerable, this is where the true magic of a master-slave relationship can happen. Another aspect of the lover in a slave is this innocent energy. The energy and connection from a slave can have a very innocent feel to them. I've noticed many authentic slaves have this almost beautiful, almost childlike innocence or energy about them. This is not to say that they're childlike or naive. It's more this energy that they have, or this energy they bring with them. Seems a bit contradictory for many of us slaves. We like BDSM and other acts of perversion and even humiliation. So to speak of this innocent energy simultaneously as we engage in acts of BDSM can feel a bit odd. But this is a common pattern and one I've seen in many true lifestyle slaves. You might even notice this in yourself if you're one of those slaves, in how people react to you. I have noticed since childhood that many people can be triggered by this innocent energy that I've sometimes had around me. And this is not something I've bought purposely, it's just there. And what I've noticed is that there's been behaviours in people triggered by this innocent energy. And this has included an unhealthy fascination in myself. A person acting strangely when I'm around them, or someone even abusing and taking advantage of me. For myself, over time, I've created a thick layer of protection around myself to protect myself from such people. And this is why it is so important for a master to protect a slave. As a master brings out this deeper submission in a slave, this innocent energy can grow and shine. But because of this, the slave also must be protected from others who would take advantage of him. And this is the one of the roles a master must take, and why the role of master as a protector can be so important. With a master a slave can trust, a slave will open up more and more. To open in this way, a slave becomes more vulnerable. Often we walk through the world with a strong ego and protection, especially if we have an innocent energy that people in the past have taken advantage of. But with a master, a slave can open up and allow their innermost selves out to the master. This is not something we do in everyday society, and often many mainstream relationships do not do this. A very simple example of this is when you see a master or slave couple who stare at each other for a very long time. This is an act of openness, of vulnerability, that you don't often see in other sort of relationships. For each of the perspectives of king, warrior, magician, and lover, there is also the shadow. Shadows can happen due to trauma and how we were brought up. We learn to hide the parts of ourselves that were not welcome. The shadow state of a lover comes from the lack or loss of love and connection. This can be in childhood. Perhaps you were abandoned when you were young, or you did not have your needs met. But in addition to loss, we also have pulls to the shadow. To connect as much to someone without our boundaries intact, for instance. Or to help alleviate the grief, we might want to feel and connect to someone to help fill that hole. Or to not connect at all because of the grief we have not allowed ourselves to feel that is there inside us. I now want to cover some of the specific shadow aspects for the shadow slave as a lover. As mentioned in one of the previous episodes, one of the shadow slave aspects is the addictor, which is the same as the master. This urge to connect through power exchange on a deep level, and this can manifest in a desperate need to find a master to connect to. A slave in this state can ignore clear warning signs that the master might not be suitable for them, or that this master is operating from the shadow. When this need takes over in such a manner, it can lead to the shadow aspect of the addictor. Now, this might seem easy to protect yourself from, but when we do really feel this pull to someone, when this need does become overwhelming, it is very hard to stop it. It's very hard to calm down. It actually happened to me at the start of this year with someone, and it took a lot of self-control and processing before I was able to calm down again. And this was just a profile message I'd read, but it really, for some reason, engaged my most innermost desires in a way that doesn't normally happen. And then that need to connect and to find this person was almost overwhelming. If we go back to addiction, addiction can also include addiction to sex, drugs, shopping, or even looking endlessly on a BDSM site for the master. A slave must watch out for this addiction energy and not give in to it. As I mentioned before, the gay BDSM scene suffers from an epidemic of crystal meth abuse. Often people who take it believe they connect more and more and closer to this everlasting orgasm. But this leads to much suffering from crystal meth addiction. Therefore, we all on the scene must watch out for and not give in to the addictor in its many forms. If you are suffering from addiction or know someone who is, there are some helplines in the show notes. I also want to come to the shadow slave as a disconnector. So a slave can also close down with a master when there is no trust or the master is in the shadow state. This is for a good reason, but it can also happen for other reasons which are to do with the slave, that the slave's not ready to connect. Or as mentioned previously, that the slave's ego is resisting. This is something I mention in the Slave as a Magician episode. The slave can also be distracted by events going on in his life. What's interesting here is the slave can close down but still pretend to be open and serve the master. Quite often the slave is using obedience and trying to be as obedient as possible to hide from actually connecting to the master. I would suggest that if a slave finds himself in this situation, and if the master is a good person and not in the shadow, that the slave should be open and transparent about this. As a story, I once headed to a master, and when I was there, I realized that I was incredibly distracted. Someone at my workplace was trying to sabotage me and get me fired. And as a result, I was in quite a stressed place and I was looking for a new job and had done 4 job interviews that week alone before I had gone to visit this master for the weekend. It was only when I was with the master I realised how distracted and stressed I was and that I could not properly focus on the master or even open up. When he did check in with me to see how I was doing, rather than being dishonest and closing down, I was transparent and told him what was happening, and he was very thankful for that honesty, and being transparent allowed him to decide how to organise the rest of the weekend. I know when I was younger, I would have closed down and pretended everything was okay. Whereas I often think it's better to be open about these things, as sometimes there can be a pathway to open up if you are open about these things, or at least the weekend or the dynamic can change in a way that does allow for more fun to happen. I think another aspect of the connection is the nihilist. This is something I mentioned in Slave as a Warrior. So I'm not going to repeat that much of what it is, but I do think it deserves here as well. The nihilist comes from a place of no boundaries, which is why I mentioned it in the Warrior episode. But also one of the reasons why we don't want any boundaries is because we want to connect so much to the master. But in this case, we're connecting to the master in expense of connecting to ourselves. I also want to mention loss of connection as a slave. We can also experience this loss as masters and slaves. Previously, I mentioned that to embrace the lover, we must be vulnerable. When I was young, I found myself opening up to masters very naturally, but often I opened up too quickly to masters. Too quickly before enough trust was built for that amount of openness. One master in particular took advantage of this and was responsible for traumatizing me, and has actually led to a deep and lasting wound within me that makes it very hard to trust and open up. Many Total Power Exchange slaves have a similar injury, where at some point in the past they have trusted a shadow master too quickly and ended up with this deep wound. So if you are an experienced slave and you are struggling with this because you've been hurt in the past, or you are someone that has wanted that more deeper sense of control, maybe 24/7 or Total Power Exchange, and you have been hurt, you're not alone with this. It is something that I have noticed happens to a lot of us because we've opened up too quickly before there was too much trust. And this is often the lesson we've needed to learn, to be a bit more careful with trusting again. I hope for anyone that is new into going into Total Power Exchange or 24/7 can hear this message and understand to open up, but only open up for the amount of trust that's there. And if you do this, I'm hoping that you can avoid some of the scar tissue me and others have had. To go a bit more into this, I often think that there's a lot of innocence here from implicitly trusting masters to do right by us or by us slaves, to then not trusting masters at all. And then as we do heal, we can then allow ourselves to trust a master a bit more over time. Actions that you can take to activate and improve on your lover is around opening up to being sensual and vulnerable. As I mentioned in the previous episode, the master-slave scene already has a lot of sex in it. But to fully embody the lover, you must open yourself up to being sensual and vulnerable. One of the ways you can do this is by indulging your sensitivity. When I use the word sensitivity, I mean the softer things in life. Beautiful music, touch, affirmation and affection. The things that can touch our hearts and make us cry. When I'm mourning someone or I want to connect into my grief, I will often listen to Hallelujah. In certain power exchange workshops I do, I will sometimes play movie soundtracks to deliberately help people connect more deeply to each other, compared to, let's say, techno music played in many Berlin bars. Although this techno music can be really good to getting a good rhythm and sucking someone's cock, it's sometimes not the best in allowing and enabling connection. I think I mentioned in The Master as a Lover that there can be a contradiction to how the gay fetish scene is generally portrayed. When I look at a Tom of Finland or pictures of men in leather or other fetish wear, they often have a hardness and alphaness to it. And these are a big turn on. And this is fine if you want to be turned on. But for you to connect more, you need to go deeper and indulge in your sensitivity. Have you ever wanted a leather man to hug and caress you just as you wanted? Do you want to have someone comb their hands through your beard or your hair? To stare at you and say that they love you? To be a master and slave in positions of dominance and submission and just connecting and being in that space with nothing else needed? The gay fetish scene can be what I've just described, both the alphaness and the sensitive, but it's only if you ask for it, and only as we communicate more for this can more of this happen. I also have a novel approach to building master-slave connection through some meditations. When I had my traumatic experience with a shadow master, I cut myself off from myself and from being able to open up and be served. The meditations and approach I talk about in this series of articles not only healed myself, but made my ability to connect to a master become even stronger. Go to masterslavelifestyle.com/connection to read the articles. Thank you. For more action on how to work on your lover and to find out more, you can purchase a book I've written on this subject called Light and Shadow at masterslavelifestyle.com/book. You can also support the podcast by becoming a Patreon member while also getting early access to podcast episodes. In the next episode, we will talk about Master as a King and how the King is the heart of joy within the Master.
You just listened to Slave Phil from Master Slave Lifestyle. Look forward to an episode every month. Be safe. Be good. Are you?